Well, no doubt about it. You have reached Drive-Thru HR. Hello, hello, hello. I am Crystal Miller. I am one of the four hosts of Drive-Thru HR and the one that was supposed to be talking to California girl Rayanne Thorne today, but she's missing in action. So we've called our semi-permanent guest host and also her coworker, Dwayne Lay, to join us in her stead. Dwayne, say hi.
Hi, everybody. This is Rayanne Thorne. Glad to be here. I gotta believe people are like tired of hearing like all of my stories at this point. I don't really have any other failures to talk about. Everything else is coming up roses.
So I'm not gonna lie, I have failures to talk about. Do you wanna be the host?
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive-Thru HR. This is Dwayne Lay. I'll be your host today, sitting on the board. Welcome to the number one rated internet HR 12 o'clock central streaming version radio show available. Today we've got a special guest on the show. We're going to be joined by Crystal Miller, who's the CEO of Branded Strategies. Crystal, say hello to the folks.
that was actually better than I do, so maybe you should have my job. Hi, everybody.
So thanks for coming on the show today. We are, as you probably know, we've got a little bit of a different format than we've had in the past. What we like to do is talk to people in the space, especially people who have some wonderful stories to tell. And we like to focus on the art of failure. What is it that you've done in your past that maybe didn't work out the way you'd hoped, maybe didn't go exactly as planned, that either you overcame or that you have great learnings from that you're able to take away, share with other people, and help mentor them so that they can learn from your mistakes. So thanks for being on the show today. So we'll just open it up. What kind of things do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? What is that great lesson you've got that you haven't had a chance to share with people enough that you want to tell the folks about today?
So, yeah, I love all of that, but I'm not doing that. I mean, ish. I'm kind
all
of
right.
doing that.
Throw the shot.
But, no, it's good. So I'm going through something right now, and I don't know, like, what I'm going through isn't necessarily a failure, but I'm going through stuff. Right? Like we all have stuff and it's so just to give people context on what's going on, about a week ago, not even quite a week ago, my daughter was in a car accident that totaled a car and hurt her a little bit. She'll be okay, but she's scared to drive and she's got a few months of physical therapy in front of her. And so, you know, it's a significant thing. And that coupled with my dog, actually our dog, our family dog, who is one of my daughter's actual friends. Like I would say that she's friends with this dog. She spends hours every day with him, loves him to pieces and whatnot. I announced a few weeks ago that he has cancer and tomorrow we have to put him down. So tomorrow we have to put my dog down and that's hard, right? So
yeah.
I'm not going to cry on this show, but what I will say is that it's been really hard to concentrate over the last few days. And we talked a little bit on the host show that, you know, William was talking about when he was going through things and like balls just got dropped. And I'm looking at my screen today thinking, okay, I have all of these things that I need to do, but really all I wanted to do is go curl up with my kid and my dog. And so
yeah.
I don't know if it's a failure as much as it is like there's a failure to be productive sometimes when you go through stuff. And I just kind of wonder, I've got to assume I'm not alone in that.
I can tell you for sure you're not. I think that, again, back to the previous conversation with William, I found it fascinating to talk about, you know, he talked about early this year, you know, having kind of gotten overloaded and having things get dropped and he's still digging out from. And I think that we talked about then, we underestimate how long it takes us to dig out from some of those things. I think that anybody who's ever had a dog, knows what it's like. That I mean, the dog becomes part of your family. Now, Kane's been with you for 2 years, I think, a little bit more than that.
3 years. 3 years, yeah.
Yeah,
we got him as an adult dog.
Yeah, I've spent time around this dog. I've met him. He is one of the friendliest dogs that you'll ever want to meet. He makes a point, if he doesn't think you recognize how good he's been, he will come over and make sure that you recognize, hey, I'm being super good right now. You can totally pet me. You know, and it has been hard, you know, watching him, you know, kind of go through everything. You know, I've got to watch over the last few months, you know, kind of how his health has been. And, you know, he has those moments where he starts to feel great. And then, and I think, just, again, any of us who have had adult dogs that have gone through this have seen kind of those cycles that run. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard to lose any member of the family, and dogs definitely become that. I think that there's an evolutionary thing that connects to a domesticated animal. Probably more dogs than cats, because dogs are more service oriented than cats are. And for people who, if you go back and talk about like love languages, who really vibe on acts of service, right? I mean, those I think are dog people. I think that's what ties us to them. And so when you have someone who's brought you, you know, that kind of affection over time and has become that much a part of your family, it's no surprise how hard it is to go through that. And then the really tough thing is, again, you know, with her being in the car accident and dealing with all of that and everything else going on in the world, you know, to have that put on top of it is really hard. But, and I know we've talked about this, that there comes a point where you have to say, okay, you know, it becomes selfish to want to hang on to that relationship, to hang on to that, when you know that, you know, the dog is suffering, the dog's not doing well, and it's not for him, right? That makes it hard, but at the same time, it's the way that you start to get to the closure piece. So, and I know she's really close to the dog, and I know it's going to be a tough time for her, but you know, she's got a good family structure around her and good support, and that's I would say for those of us who have to deal with this kind of stuff, this kind of upheaval in our lives on a regular basis or any kind of basis, I think everyone would empathize with that. The fact that, you know, there comes a point where you can't concentrate on work anymore. I told you a story the other day about, you know, when my first son was born, you know, I got called into my boss's office about 2 weeks in, and, you know, new father and hadn't slept and just looked a wreck. And I was working in HR as an HR VP that I'm reporting to. And he calls me in and he says, how are things going? Everything okay? And I'm waiting for this, like, you know, you'll be all right. You take your time and, you know, I know it's rough, and take a nap on your desk, you know, whatever you need. And I got just the opposite. You know, his comment to me really was, you know what, you're off your game, and it can't continue, and I need you to get your head back into it. And it's harsh words. It's hard to hear that, because you think, man, you don't care at all. But the truth of the matter is, it takes so long to dig out, and you're important to people. And so I think recognizing that that's what's happening, you don't want to bury yourself in work, but, you know, when you can recognize what's happening, when you can be open with people, you know, it does sometimes take a kick in the butt to kind of get you restarted. But I think that as a whole, we undervalue the amount of time it takes to kind of put everything back together, and I think that's important to recognize.
Since I think that's kind of and that's a good point. You're actually going where I was hoping we might go with this, so it doesn't just totally become my impromptu therapy session. but that being said, I think Rayanne may be joining us in a little bit, and that's cool because she can jump in on this if she is. Anyway, so where I was going with that was, like, I think we do a really bad job of letting people live. I may not be saying that right, but, like, rather than recognizing that we all have stuff going on, and let's be real, everybody has stuff that happens and goes on, right? Like, this isn't my dog is dying tomorrow. You know, my daughter was in a car accident. That sucks. Those are circumstances, right? We all have various stories like that. And instead of being like, hey, tough or whatever, what we often hear is, man, that's some drama.
Yeah.
And that's some, pardon my language, but that is some bullshit. That is an awful way to respond to people's lives. But it's really what we do. Why do you think that is?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a little bit of it's a little bit of callousness, I think, in wanting to believe that someone else's problems aren't as important as ours or not as valid as ours. And if we recognize someone else is going through things, and we recognize the importance of it and how it impacts them as a human being, that for some people it makes them feel like they're less important. But you're right. And I remember having this conversation with someone else in the past where, you know, the discussion of this person has a lot of drama going on. So, well, they have a lot of life going on. Like, this happens, you know, people, life runs in cycles. And sometimes, you know, they say when it rains, it pours. And yeah, there's absolutely manufactured drama. I mean, there's no question. We've all seen that. Right. And so I think it's a combination of not wanting to devalue yourself, therefore you devalue others. And I think it's also, I think there's certain times where there is manufactured drama. There's a lot of it around it. So you tend to look at everything that's happening as drama, as opposed to being a really hard time, someone's going through something that's really valid in their life. They really need the support of the community around them. And I think we're lucky to have a community with the HR space. But there are a lot of really caring people. I mean, we're HR people, right? That's kind of, for most of us, that's part of the job description is to care. There are a lot
you
of
would
people
think,
like that
but
around
yet.
Us. You would think.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. And I don't want to shortchange those people, but there's a lot of crazy callousness in hoping people fail and harping on people's poor circumstances and saying, oh, they're drama, instead of how can we help raise them up. And I think that's a wonderful segue into someone who is focusing very much on helping raise other people up. Rayanne, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so sorry. I am ready to jump off of my balcony into an abyss because I have a puppy that every time I turn around, he's eating something or pooping on something, or I'm sorry, I just chased him around the backyard because he had a clothespin in his mouth, and the last thing I need is another trip to the vet. So I'm so sorry for being late, and I owe Dwayne a ton
oh,
for this.
No, it's fine. It's a team sport.
So evidently today is all about dogs.
You.
You're talking about how you're playing with your puppy, and I was talking about how tomorrow we have to put our dog down.
I have gone through that. It's the worst thing ever. No, it's not okay. It's the worst thing ever.
No,
and
it's not. Yeah,
I was months. It was months before I was okay. After that, so I will, you know, if you need a shoulder to cry on, I have been there and have done that, so I'm so sorry.
You know, it's hard, and I'm not going to say that it's not, but for me, the hardest part is watching my daughter. Like, she sleeps with that dog. That's her friend. So, so anyway, because I'm not going to cry on the show.
Oh, I'm crying.
We were talking about how... Oh, no, don't cry. But we were talking about how, you know, this is a circumstance that I'm having to deal with, right? And, like, I remember thinking today, I almost posted, this is going to be our last full date with Kane because he goes down tomorrow. And anyway, I didn't because my first thought was, oh, this guy Aaron, who I think is even, like I think we like each other. There's no animosity there anyway. If I post that, Aaron's going to probably say something about how it's drama. And this guy, at South by Southwest, several months ago, said, yeah, you have a lot of drama in your life. I'm like, no, I don't. I got a lot of stuff that goes on, but it's not really drama. And then I started paying attention to how we treat people when they go through adversity or when they're going through hard times or when they just have a bad day. And it's like, oh, they're drama. And that just seems like such a crappy way to relate to each other.
Well, it's a crappy way to feel about somebody else. I mean, I think one of the most beautiful things about social media has given us an opportunity to really express ourselves in a different way. Some people are better writers. Some people are better talkers. Some people are better listeners than others, right? And it's given us a way to express anxiety, express fear, express the drama that is in our life in a different way. And it also gives us an opportunity to identify friendships in a different way. You know, some people are lurkers. They just want to watch and see. And I have plenty of people that when I post something, like I had a bad experience at the dentist the other day. I couldn't get numb. And I posted something on Facebook. If I whined and cried about going to the dentist, boy, would I be whining and crying right about now, you know. And so many people could relate to that, you know, and everybody started telling stories and this just happened to me. And then I had a friend that privately messaged me and said, I'm so sorry, you had a bad day. And other people felt like they need to tell their dental story. And I thought, no, that's exactly why I posted it. I posted it because I needed somebody to say, I've had a bad experience too. I'm sorry you're feeling this way, you know. And I think that the minute we see it as drama for somebody else, like somebody might see that putting your dog down, well, it's just a dog. Well, guess what? Somebody who loves their dog, this is more than just a dog. This is a member of the family. And it's a tragic, heartbreaking thing that we have to go through as human beings that love and appreciate our pets that are there for us, you know. And nobody loves us more than our dogs. No unconditional love, no matter what we do. We can come home smelling the worst we've ever smelled after a workout, and they don't care. They love us even more, you know.
And dogs have their sense of time, so it doesn't matter how long you're gone. They're always just as happy to see you, which is really nice.
That's right. That's right. And it feels like forever for them. I think it's a commercial. You might have shared it with me, Duane, where the dog's just waiting by the door, and though it's been forever, but it could have only been 10 minutes, but it felt like forever for this dog. And that's how I feel about my pets. And I grew up with dogs, but they were always outdoor dogs, and they were up in the periphery of my life. You know, my mom never wanted dogs in the house, and it really changed how I felt about pets when they were allowed to be in my home, sitting next to me at my feet. And like you, Crystal, I work from a home office, and my dog is under my legs all day long, right? And it's an interesting passage for me, because my dogs know when I don't feel well or when I'm unhappy, and they lay right next to me, and they know when I'm angry, because then they start doing silly things, you know, and then it makes me angrier. So I have to look at it another way, that, you know, they're just trying to get my attention and cheer me up or something like that. But pets are an interesting part of our lives, and people who don't have that same kind of love or a pet in their life can't understand what that's like. So.
Yeah,
I can appreciate what,
I think that's all for her.
What you have to go through.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry for your daughter, too.
Broadening. Oh, no. Again, I appreciate all of that. I was like, well, you know, again, really just thinking through this on that way home was just, I had the status update typed out, and then I canceled it. Cause I was like, no, I had already said the dog was sick, and that's going to be seen as drama, and I probably shouldn't. And I was like, what a weird way to self-censor. Right. And so then I was like, I know I'm not alone in that. I know I'm not. Like, I've heard other people talk about how they're afraid to talk about their life.
Yeah. Well, how many people are afraid to post anything about politics? You know, I mean, I posted a quote from Carly. Exactly. Carly. Well, that's true, too. But I posted something from the debate last night, and already, you know, it's lighting a fire under other people. And I decided about 3 weeks ago that I was going, if somebody posted something stupid, I was going to call it out. You know, I've always been very, very accepting of everybody's opinions, everybody's views. And I feel like that's gotten us to the place, the state that we're in right now. And it's not a really great place or great state. And we need to start really understanding and not just following the crowd, not just being sheep, but actually really understanding the issues and listening, and not just listening to what other candidates are saying or what other media outlets are saying about candidates or about parties. You know, the divisiveness is insane. I've been voting since 1981, and I've never seen it like this before. I've never been in a political environment that is so heated and so divided. And it's sad. And if you watched any of the debate last night, you saw a couple of candidates were frustrated by the fighting, the infighting that was taking place on that stage. And,
yeah.
I think that's
nice
going to end.
When Christy was like, stop.
Yeah, it was.
Like, nobody cares.
Can we
about
stop
you.
This?
Right.
Yeah, let's just stop it. So. But,
see
what happens.
What
it'll be
saying.
Interesting.
It will.
It'll be interesting.
I'll see what you're saying. Like, there was I posted something today about the Ahmed, or maybe it was yesterday, the I Stand With Ahmed stuff. And, there's a fight going on right now on my face, gotten to the point that two people are calling each other names. It's like, what in
the
world?
Yeah, that's happened to me.
Yeah,
one of them is my husband, you know, so I threaten him every day. I'm like, okay, you can't post anymore. Just stop posting on that, or I'm going to delete it, you know. And you just have to be. Yeah, I'm getting to the point where it's like, if it's causing this much, and if I have somebody that privately messages me and says, I'm kind of offended by what's going on your wall, I will delete it immediately. And that's happened a couple of times. And I think it's because I don't want to delete everything. I want there to be a place where we can vent and talk stuff out. But I also think that we need to listen and not just shout our opinions. Let's hear what's coming back at us. And that's a big problem that's happening right now, is everybody just has an opinion and they don't care what your opinion is. You know, they just want you to hear theirs. And that's the biggest issue right now with media today, is that we're not reporting facts, they're reporting opinion. And I don't know how that's going to change. You know, it seems like anybody who can write a blog has a voice now. And I guess that's good, because that's what I do. I'm a chronic blogger, but I also think that not everybody should publish, if you know what I mean. Go ahead and write however you want. I think they still sell those journals, those paper journals in the bookstore. Or
yeah,
you can say it's private, only for me to see, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have a private journal that it doesn't go anywhere. Nobody sees it. Nobody reads it. It's just for me, and I'll put things in there that I know I can't say anywhere else. But even with that, I don't put things that I consider to be derogatory about other people, and I don't say things that I feel like if somebody else got it, would make them feel less about somebody else. And Dwayne's like, well, almost nobody reads it because I must have access to it. No, Dwayne, you don't know this one either. I got this in well. But
Sure. I don't know anything.
I do.
Yeah.
You don't. But anyway.
You don't know everything, Dwayne.
That's right. But I mean, that's something I think that's a failure. And if there's an art to failure, we haven't pivoted as a group yet to the success story, which is, you know, no, not everything has to be a cheerleading moment. And yes, it is okay to call people out, but we need to start working towards elevating each other and understanding each other and getting the empathy back. I feel like we're missing the empathy in our group.
Agreed. Well, and your friend that you're worried about him responding, drama, you know. I mean, it's because you feel like there's not empathy coming from him in your direction. And I have a couple of friends
that
too. And I'm also
he was telling other people that I'm full of drama.
Yeah.
And I heard about it at South by Southwest. I was like, what the hell? No, I don't have drama. I just have stuff that happens in my life. You know?
And I like to share it. It makes me feel better to know that, you know, other people are out there that can pray for me or shoot good thoughts my way. Sometimes you just need a team to rally behind you and say, I got your back. What do you need?
Oh, yeah. No. And I do love that. Like, no doubt. But that's not even why I do it. I do it because I know somebody else out there has the exact same issue.
It's going
and they're
the same
probably
thing.
Not
I know.
Okay with posting it. And I am. Like, if you don't like my stuff, fuck off. But, you know,
well,
sorry.
You know, Crystal, you've probably had this experience. I've written a lot about some deep, dark, ugly stuff that's happened in my life, you know, and there's still some other stuff that's uncovered. I ended an abusive relationship many years ago, but that haunts me to this day. You know, my first husband was an alcoholic and abusive, and I haven't written very much about that. I have never written a blog about it, you know, but there's been little tidbits that I've released, when I hear somebody else is going through that situation, I'm very happy to share, look, this is what I went through, and I understand what you're going through, and you just keep fighting, There's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and there's some really deep, dark stuff out there, and I wrote about losing my home, and I had hundreds of people send me private messages saying, I can't believe you're writing about this. I'm going through this now. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. Now I know I'm not alone and it's okay to talk about it. And, you know, there's such shame attached to it. And hundreds of thousands of people have lost their home in the last 10 years, you know, in this country. And there's such shame attached to it. And I am completely ashamed of it. I mean, totally ashamed of it. It happened after my divorce and a really bad time financially. I mean, we're talking 2007. That's when the poop hit the fan for many, many, many industries, right? And I was in a really bad place personally and financially and work-wise. I was just coming out of something. And so, you know, I think that there's a way to share your experiences so that other people, like we've already talked about, can sit back and say, oh, wow, okay, I'm not alone in this. And other people have felt the same way that I have. And other people feel like they're constantly fighting. You know, Sandra McCart, I don't know if you know her. She's a recruiting professional, and I first met her on recruiting blogs years ago. And I used to write daily on recruiting blogs, Bonus Track. And I wrote about, I think it was the accident that I had that just finally, the lawsuit finally is complete. The guy who was suing me lost, and he finally paid back what he owed. And after four years, the accident was 5 years ago almost. Yeah, it'll be 5 years. In October, it'll be 5 years ago that the accident happened. And I just received a note from my attorney that everything is done. And I wrote that post on recruiting blogs about it. And her comment was, have you ever felt, Rayanne, that you were born under the sign of the turd? You know, and that
I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah. And I have written about it. I've talked about it because I think there are times in our lives when we all feel that way, when we all feel like, damn it, nothing goes my way. Just when I get up off the ground, you know, and dust myself off, I get pushed back down and somebody else is laughing at me. And who's talking about me behind my back? And who wants to hurt me? And who's not helping me? And who's yanking the rug out from under me now, right? Who's throwing, who's spitting in my face? And it always feels like that. And it helps to know that you are not alone. You know, one of the
yep.
biggest places in my life where I have experienced personal failure is when I don't listen to myself, right? You know, I was thinking a great deal about the show today and what I would talk about and, you know, and the direction that the message that I wanted to share is so often I will look at an experience behind me and say, I knew that something was going to happen. I knew that this was going to happen, right? And I didn't listen to myself, and I doubted my own experience. I doubted my own gut. I doubted my own voice. And I have learned so much about just being strong about who you are. And a lot of it comes from women who have had to fight and claw their way through life to get to a certain place. And once they get there, they still are worried that, you know, somebody's going to pull that rug out from under them or somebody's talking about me behind my back. And so we doubt that voice that we have spent our whole lives building up and learning. And you know, wisdom is based on a bunch of different things. It's not just something that comes to a 70-year-old woman who's, you know, finally come to a place in her life where she can give sage advice to her grandchildren. It's every step and place in our life, every moment in our life allows us to take experience, skill, talent, and anything that we've learned, our gut, that quiet voice inside of us that says, hey, don't turn down that road. Hey, you better stop what you're doing and listen. And also helps us remember, where did I leave my damn keys? Right? You know, all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, I remember. I hung them over here. And sometimes we just need those moments of quiet. And a recent discovery for me has been meditation, something that I just started doing. I have a good friend, Todd Schnick, that posts often about meditating. And so I have taken it upon myself to stop whatever I'm doing when I feel like the world is spinning out of control and just take 10 minutes to just think about breathing, you know, and those are the moments when this little light goes off and says, there's where I left my keys, you know? and so I'm trying really hard to listen to my voice, to trust my own voice, to trust that message inside of me and not doubt myself. Kelly Robinson said to me, I probably worked at Broadbean for about 9 months. And I just finished talking with a sales guy, and he was giving me crap, you know, and as all salespeople do to marketing, you know, marketing's never doing enough for us. And so I mm-hmm. walked frustrated back to my office and was answering an email to London. And I have this, I've written about this because it's really something that has stuck with me for years. When I answer an email for work, I don't always put a salutation in. I don't always, you know, and that's a lot of what happens when you work closely with people that aren't in your same office. You email quickly back and forth. And I was doing that with the London office at Broadbean. And Kelly came into my office and said, I noticed you're a little uptight today, Ariane. What's going on? You know? And I said, well, you know, it just feels like people aren't listening to me and that, you know, my experience isn't being valued. And he said to me, well, you know, there are a few people in the London office that think you're a bitch. And I went, what? I'm not a bitch. And he goes, I know. I can't understand why they think that. And he said, I think it has something to do with how you respond in emails. You know, you're quick to answer. And in my head, I'm like, well, if I were a man, they wouldn't be saying this about me. If I were a man, you know, let me show you all these emails from all the men in the company that don't say, hey, Ryan, how was your weekend? Oh, by the way, can you send me the PDF for, you know, there's no this beautiful beginning. It's just, where's the PDF? I need it now, you know. And so then I started thinking, okay, if perception is reality, I don't want their perception of me to be that I'm, you know, a witchy person, that I'm not kind, that I'm not responsive. And he said, he reached over, and it was a profound moment. I was sitting at my desk, and he could tell that this was very troubling to me. He put his hand on my hand, and he said, look, I know how hard you've had to fight in your life. I know what you've had to go through. And he, at the time, he knew about my first marriage, and he, you know, he knew about the losing my home and everything. And he said to me, you don't have to fight anymore. You are respected. You are loved by everybody at this company, and you don't have to fight anymore. You know, and it was just this moment of, I could feel like the crackling through my spine, you know, it's like I was in Shavasana all of a sudden after yoga or something, you know, and it was just this relaxing moment of, this man respects me. We don't always get that as women, right? We don't always get that recognition,
right,
that I know how hard you've had to fight, and I know that respect was hard, a hard won battle for you, but you have won it here. So I need you to know that. And, you know, I think that is probably one of the most valuable work experiences I've ever had, and why I, you know, I hold Kelly and my experience at Broadbean so dear. And I haven't had those same experiences at other organizations until recently, you know. So I love what we do at Dovetail, and I'm excited about the almost reverence that there is for each other and the respect that there is for what we do. And Dwayne is a big part of that. And Crystal, obviously, you know, you helped make all of this happen as well. So thank you both for my next step in my life and in my career, and helping me get to where I am today.
Well, I mean, you got you to where you are today. We just opened up a potential opportunity that maybe you would have or would have known without us, and that's all. But you earned all
that. Yeah,
I was
just going to say you're welcome.
I know you were.
Well,
I just want to try to be polite. That's all.
Oh, that was. You're welcome back, Dwayne.
Aw, perfect.
Yep. You guys are funny.
So, another area that I think I may have failed a little bit, and that I'm trying to do better on, and it's hard for me to admit, is friendships. You know, the last year has been really hard on me. I've lost some very dear friends, and due to misunderstandings and just bad timing and bad space and bad experiences. I think we all go through this, you know, and there's kind of a, you know, we talk about in the industry how there's a musical chairs, you know, you hear so many people that are leaving jobs and taking new jobs. And there's a group of people that we have seen stand up out of their chairs recently and are moving on to other chairs and sitting down now. And I think the same thing happens in our friendships. And
mm-hmm.
because the heart is so attached to those things that it often we kind of bury it, or we become angry about it because we don't know how to handle you know, that loss, because that loss is much closer to our hearts. I think it's one of the reasons that Apoy, the experience at Apoy for me hurt so badly, is because I had developed really tight-knit relationships with several people there. And it was such a shock to my system to, you know, receive the call, hey, you know what, we're changing direction and you're not going to be part of this company anymore. You know, after I had just completed this really great event, and it was heartbreaking. And the biggest reason is because there were trusted friendships involved in that, you know. And so it's been a really interesting last 14 months for me to see how friendships changed in my life over the last 14 months. And I can look back on it now and say everything happened exactly like it was supposed to. You know, we all gain that perspective when we get down the road a little ways. It was painful during the time, and I learned some really valuable lessons about valuing the people that you give your heart to. And
yeah,
they may not always give their heart back to you. You know, they may not always respond to you the way that you thought, and they may not prove deserving of that trust that you give, but that's on them. That's not on you. And I think that was the biggest lesson for me in 2014, was just take a breath, meditate, let go of the hurt, you know, and keep on going, you know. And some days it feels like you're just reaching as far as you can, and sometimes you aren't able to grasp a hold of something, but other days you can take giant leaps. And that's where you renew and rebuild. And, you know, it hasn't been easy, but I think that there's a lesson in all of these things. And one thing I will say about my last year is how thankful I am for the friendship with you, Crystal, and with you, Dwayne. And you know, there have been roadblocks in the past from that happening, mm-hmm. and so I'm glad that they are gone. So happily moving forward.
Oh, feel you there. You know, I remember thinking this like last week that I was so grateful that we had the opportunity to, I guess, get past the circumstances that really kept us from getting to know each other, I think.
Yeah.
You know, there were,
absolutely.
And sometimes it was like bias, right? Like, so we get this perception bias based off
yeah.
of feedback or, you know, these sweeping judgments. And at Illinois Sherm, I was talking about that from a recruiting perspective. There's this thing called thin slice methodology where we make a very finite judgment on someone using very, very broad, sweeping generalizations that come from micro
and hearsay, right? And also
yeah.
hearsay. I mean, that's why I loved what you posted on your wall this morning. The "Don't judge my story by the chapter you walked in on." I just love that, and I so identified with that. And also, you know, where you and I were when we first met. I mean, I instantly went to that chapter, and I thought, wow. How far we've come, how different things are now from the 4 or 5 years ago when we met each other. I think it was at HR Tech even. It could have been South By, but
I think it was
when
HR Tech, like 2011, it seems like.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, I love giving the perspective that there are chapters in our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it tells you that there is a beginning and an end, but that end is just the next beginning, right? You know, and I just love being able to write those chapters and move forward and close the last chapter and say enough
well,
of that.
Well, it's a nice reminder. Like, it's a nice reminder for us. I'm sorry, I just totally talked over you. My apologies. It is a nice reminder and a nice way to end that chapter.
Yep.
But it's also a nice reminder of being able to. To go back and relearn people, right? Because who I was in 2011
yeah,
was very different than who I was today and who I'll be in 5 years from now. I mean, our perspectives and our, really not our personality as much, but how we fit in our own shoes changes so much over time that it's worth getting to know people again. And sometimes people will do things that you can't go back. Like, you can't go back and reopen this chapter
right.
with this person
That's
and say,
right.
okay, let's see where we go next. But a lot of times we veer away from people based off of very, you know, interstitial type moments, right? Like, it's not who they are. It's something they were experiencing that makes them come off in one way or another. And, I mean, like, I laugh about that with Dwayne. I mean, there was a year, what was it, a couple years ago? We were friends, but man, did we butt heads. You know? And now we're dating. So,
you know, that, like, that does
yeah,
not
she's,
surprise
she's, I would say that. I would say that
though.
She's... Yeah, but I would say that she's grown a lot since then.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I'm just
of
not
course you would.
Even.
Of course you would. Well, I can say this as an outsider, that I see two totally different people than I knew, you know, 2 years ago. And they're not that those people weren't beautiful and wonderful 2 years ago, but they are. I think they're far more beautiful and wonderful now. I mean, I think anybody who has seen you guys over the last several months would agree with me that it's there's been an awakening, if you will, or a, you know, new things that have emerged about you two, not you two together, but you two individually. And when you bring out good things, the best things in your partner, that's a great relationship, right? And butting heads is also a great relationship because it means you challenge each other and you make each other think and you make each other angry. And I've been in a relationship that was just complacent, and it was horrifying, you know, where my partner just went along with everything, didn't try to challenge me or vice versa. He was the king, the know-it-all, the knowledge of everything. And so I didn't even have there was no place for me to even stand next to that. So I think the butting heads is a good thing. It's a good place to start, because then you can look back and say, look how far we've come, or I'm glad that we challenge each other and that we can rise to the occasion that is our relationship, you know. And I would never want it to be, you know, just boring and complacent. So you're in a good place.
No, I agree. And it's definitely not. But, yeah, a couple years ago I would say we weren't as – good of friends as we are now. Well, I mean, obviously we weren't, but we were, yeah. Anyway, a couple years ago, we were probably loose friends, where now we're very, very good friends and we're dating. But point being, we changed, right?
You know,
like,
that could
who
have
was
been
two
a little
years ago and who I am is,
I mean, think about it. Think about the dynamics of a relationship, right? And the phases that a relationship goes through. I mean, obviously, you guys love each other very much, and there could have been just like this, you know, magnetism that was like bugging you both, you know, because there was really no place to go with it. And so you make up things to hate about each other, or to, you know, to argue about, or to butt heads about. So,
like being beyond blogging.
Really?
That was our whole misunderstanding. I thought he had said he was beyond blogging, and he didn't. And we didn't talk to each other for months because I was just dumb.
Anyway. That sounds just
but
like
she,
Wayne's.
But
like,
again, she's grown since then, and she's learned to listen a little better.
Of course. Of course.
Which is not to say that there isn't still some of that that happens. Of course there's still headbutting that happens.
But now it's all on his end.
But I've taken on the task of trying to, right?
Yeah.
You got to keep the energy alive for that. So.
Yeah, well, for sure. But point being, I mean, so somebody that maybe 2 years ago or 6 months ago that you met or you knew and they didn't fit, like they didn't fit in your life, don't permanently write people off. Like, take the time. For me, that's a learning that I've had, is like, don't permanently write people off. There's a couple of exceptions. There are a couple of people that are just like, yeah, nope, you're out of the club and you're not coming back in.
Yes, I
and
agree.
You have to be careful of hurt, right? You have to be careful of hurt and be mindful of it, that maybe if you have hurt somebody, which I know I have, or if you have been hurt, you have to understand that that is a broken place in your heart, and it's not going to get better right away. And, you know, a cup of coffee or a glass of wine isn't going to fix that. So sometimes it just needs time, and sometimes it needs perspective, which time allows for. And then you can come to that place to say, okay, I'm ready to either try again, or, you know what, I'm healed now and I don't need you in my life, period, you know.
Yeah.
And I had an interesting thing happen. I've the father of my kids, we were married for many years, dated from the time we were 16, and our last child graduated from high school and went off to college. And so that meant there were no real ties between us other than, you know, weddings and, you know, graduations, college graduations in the future and so forth. But I'd always kept an open line of communication because of I was the caregiver, keeper of his children, right? So if there was an incident that happened, we needed to reach each other one way or another, and there have been incidences, accidents, and so forth. And the problem is that he would often drunk text me in the middle of the night, right? So when my son graduated, I sent him a final message and said, well, we did it, we made it, over and out. I'm going to block your number now because there's really no reason for us to talk anymore. And it was such a freeing moment for me to say, okay, I don't have to receive the, you know, where for years I just tolerated it because I had to keep those lines of communication open. And so it was a really great moment to say, okay, I can move on now. I can let that part of my life go and begin this next new chapter with my new husband and, you know, the new job and all the new puppy I was crazy to get and all these wonderful new things that are happening in my life, right? And sometimes you don't have room for all of that if you've still got some crap hanging around.
Oh, totally agree with that. So we've got about 60 seconds left, and it sounds like you've pivoted really well into a successful place. And if people would like to see you and talk more about whatever, whether that's your success, their success, or just get to know you, where can they find you next?
Oh, well, we've got some great things happening. Dovetail will actually be at the Workday Rising conference that's coming up in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas. So you can, if you're going to be there, check us out. You can also follow the hashtag WDRising. We'll also be at HR Tech, where Dovetail is sponsoring the launch of Intrepid HR, which is a new media channel, part of the Intrepid Now family of business, lifestyle, healthcare. They are launching a new HR channel, and we are a significant part of that. We'll be live streaming interviews from our booth.
Okay,
we've booked about 21 interviews now. So it'll be great.
Yay. Okay, 3 seconds. It was so great to have you. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.